Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. Let's begin.
Enough is enough. In fact, things have already gone way too far. And if this fascism is not defeated and removed from power soon, it really will become too late. The time is upon us. There must now be a major qualitative ramping up of relentless resistance against this fascist regime, becoming even more massive and sustained, mobilizing millions and millions of people, moving nonviolently but with fierce determination around the crucial unifying demand that Trump and his fascist regime must go now, aiming for nothing less than bringing the functioning of this fascist regime to a halt and creating the conditions where it is removed from power.
Hello and welcome to the RNL Revolution Nothing Less Show. And I'm one of the co-hosts of this show, Annie Day. This show is about an actual revolution in the interest of the people of the whole world, a revolution to bring into being a radically different and far better world that's based in the new communism developed by the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. That's who you heard at the top of today's show. We are on the eve of July 4th, the day that's supposed to celebrate the birth of this country. The birth of this country in slavery, genocide, and war. But on this July 4th, we're not going to the beach. We're not firing up the barbecue or lining up to watch the fireworks. On this July 4th, we're hitting the streets to declare in the name of humanity, we declare our independence from a fascist America. The National Organization Refuse Fascism is calling for protests in D.C., in L.A., in cities across the country, calling on people to join in the biggest chant heard around the world. Trump must go now. Look, we don't have much time. Trump and the whole fascist regime is moving very quickly, with direction and momentum. And with fascism, it can become too late. This is why it's so urgent that we act to defeat this fascism. There is such a fascist onslaught happening, it would take hours to break down. Trump is ripping away core constitutional rights, redefining what it means to be a citizen. The fascist-packed Supreme Court's giving Trump unchecked powers, putting him in a category above the law. Look, we're going to look at two things briefly. By the time we air, we'll know the outcome of the fascist attempt to ram into law a big, ugly, fascist, vicious MAGA murder bill. This would result in a major leap of gutting the social safety net. And the message of this bill is, if you can't make it, you starve and die. This bill was approved by the Senate in a 50-50 vote, with J.D. Vance breaking the tie. And now it goes again to the House. If this bill passes, millions of people will be kicked off health care. Food stamps programs will be left in tatters. A major tax cut for the wealthy. And where are the funds going to? $130 billion will go to ramp up Trump's mass deportation program. The dead-eyed fascist ghoul, Stephen Miller, said this bill will, quote, increase by orders of magnitude the scope, scale, and speed of removing what he calls illegal and criminal aliens. In other words, human beings who emigrated here for the basic ability to survive. And this is Trump's fascist border czar, Tom Holman.
We need that big, beautiful bill passed. Come listen to me. I'm telling you right now, they passed that bill, we're going to have more money than we ever had to do immigration enforcement. You think we're arresting people now? You wait till we get the funding to do what we got to do.
Think about this. It's not enough for these fascists that gun-toting masked men are rampaging through the streets of L.A. kidnapping immigrants. The second thing we want to call out to people is that Trump is threatening to deport American citizens, anyone he deems a criminal.
I'd like to say, you know, a little controversial, but I couldn't care less. We have a lot of bad criminals that came into this country, and they came in stupidly. It was an unforced error. It was an incompetent president that allowed it to happen. It was an auto pen, maybe, that allowed it to happen. And it did happen. But we also have a lot of bad people that have been here for a long time, people that whack people over the head with a baseball bat from behind when they're not looking and kill them, people that knife you when you're walking down the street. They're not new to our country. They're old to our country. Many of them were born in our country. I think we ought to get them the hell out of here, too. You want to know the truth. So maybe that'll be the next job that we'll work on together.
And in a sick celebration of torture, Trump made a visit to a new detention center being built in Florida, in the isolated Everglades, surrounded by alligators and pythons. Trump giggled at the idea of desperate migrants who might escape being eaten, being chased by alligators.
And what the alligator outfit says is the idea that if some immigrant they just get eaten by an alligator or a snake or something.
I guess that's the concept. This is not a nice business. I guess that's the concept. If snakes are fast, but alligators are, but we're going to teach them how to run away from an alligator, okay? If they escape prison, how to run away. Don't run in a straight line. Run like this. And you know what? Your chances go up about 1%. Okay? Not a good thing.
This is the cruel and the sadistic future being violently enforced by Trump MAGA fascism. And again, I'm just barely scratching the surface. For more coverage of all this, go to revcom.us. We get into all this much more deeply. But what we've seen in the last 5 months is just the beginning of what this fascist regime has in store if we, the people who value empathy and compassion, the people who love diversity and curiosity, the people who care about humanity and the planet, the people who want to see a better world, if we in our millions do not act to stop this, there is still time, people, but it means we have to act together with courage and self-sacrificing determination. We want to play a social media compilation of members of Refuse Fascism reading from their powerful Declaration of Independence from Trump's fascist America.
In Washington, D.C., on this July 4th, 2025,
in the name of humanity, we declare our independence from Trump's fascist America.
Whenever any fascist regime of government becomes destructive to the future of humanity and the planet,
it becomes the responsibility of the people to drive it from power through nonviolent protest, day in and day out, until the regime is removed from power. Donald Trump must go now.
Because he and his regime are fascist.
Fascism is a radically reactionary, qualitative change in how society is governed. Fascism foments and relies on xenophobic nationalism, virulent racism, misogyny, and the aggressive reinstitution of oppressive traditional values.
Fascist mobs and threats of violence are unleashed to build the movement and consolidate power.
What is crucial to understand is that once in power, fascism essentially eliminates traditional democratic rights.
The history of the Trump fascist regime is a history of repeated injuries, usurpations, and violence in the service of consolidating a fascist tyranny, assaulting truth, rule of law, the separation of powers, and of church and state, while accelerating the climate catastrophe, endangering public health,
and raising the risk of global war.
Let the facts be submitted.
To read that full declaration, go to refusefascism.org. If you're anywhere near D.C., get to D.C. If you're anywhere near L.A., get to L.A., the Bay Area, Chicago, wherever you are, be in the streets tomorrow and join us on a historic and urgent mission to drive this regime from power in the name, in the interests of humanity. And here we want to share more from Refuse Fascism from on the ground in Washington, D.C.
Here in the tradition of those of us who believe that democracy has never taken root in this place, and that it is for us to ensure that democracy can grow and thrive and to be a part of the generations of brothers and sisters who have revolted against American fascism. Must go.
Now.
Trump must go.
Now.
And finally, there are so many people who do what I do, who support Donald Trump's regime. But I want to be clear with you that there can be no one who stands behind a desk in the name of one who was executed by the state, lifting up the executioner. We are on the side not of the executioner, but of those whom they seek to execute, those whom they seek to destroy. Trump is on the wrong side of history. Trump is on the wrong side of God. Trump is on the wrong side of divinity. Trump must go.
Now.
Trump must go.
Now.
Trump must go.
Now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. My name is Ralph, and I am a 20-year veteran of the U.S. military and 15-year federal service. The money they're taking away from Medicaid is going to close hospitals throughout America. That was my job, folks. I worked in medicine. I worked in emergency medicine. Do you know from the time you get hurt or you get sick, there is a golden hour where from your injury or your illness, we have to have you at the hospital or in the OR to give you a better survival rate. This bill is killing Americans. In addition to that, I don't know about you guys, but every morning I wake up, I turn on the news, because I don't know what this regime has done in the last 8 hours I slept. That is a miserable feeling. And this bill has to go. Trump must go. In the name of humanity. We refuse to accept fascism in America.
We refuse to accept fascism in America.
Trump must go.
Trump must go.
When?
Now.
When?
Now.
Thank you.
Refusefascism.org is in the streets today and will be on July 4th. People use this word fascism, but then they do not act like it is real. They sit back. Yes, they may be worried. Yes, they may come out and protest, millions strong. And this is important. It shows our power and our potential. But overwhelmingly, the decent people of this country who hate and fear what Trump is doing are still sitting back and waiting. They are still acting like it's business as usual. They are still hoping this will go away through the normal mechanism. They are still telling themselves things like, oh, we'll remember and vote them out in 2026 or 2028. Waiting for the elections to deal with the fascism of Donald Trump is like watching a man fall to the ground in cardiac arrest. He's clutching at his chest. He's gasping for air. But instead of calling an ambulance, you sit back and say, oh, there's nothing to worry about. He's got a routine checkup in a year and a half. No. You don't sit back and wait. You don't sit back and hope. You act. You act with urgency. You act now. Right now, sisters and brothers, beautiful people across this country, our rights, the lives of millions of immigrants and others, and the future of humanity is in cardiac arrest. This is an emergency situation. We cannot sit back and wait. We cannot have politics as usual. We need to flood the streets in mass, nonviolent, sustained protest. Protest that doesn't back down. Protest that grows by the day. Protest that grinds this country to a halt. That does not let business as usual go forward as long as Donald Trump is accelerating towards fascism in this country. We have the numbers. We have seen it in our millions. We need to come back now in nonviolent but sustained, growing protest on such a level, not stopping until we create the level of profound political crisis across this country such that Donald Trump cannot govern and impose his fascist program or even hold on to the reins of power. We need to demand and we need to win. Trump must go now.
Trump must go now.
But on July 4th, we will be rallying once again at 2 p.m. at Logan Circle, and we will march to the White House to say no to any celebration of Trump's fascist America, to declare our independence in the name of humanity from Trump's fascist America, and to say Trump must go now.
We want to go now to another question that needs to be posed about July 4th, a question that the former slave Frederick Douglass asked on July 5th, 1852. Bob Avakian, in a speech in 2003 titled Revolution, Why It's Necessary, Why It's Possible, and What It's All About, brought this alive.
Frederick Douglass was a slave himself who, after he got his own freedom, spent his life fighting against the oppression of black people and other injustices. Invited to speak at a July 4th celebration, Douglass made clear that July 4th was nothing to celebrate and that America was guilty of great crimes. Here's what he said about it. What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciation of tyrants are brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgiving, with all your parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy. A thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There is not a nation on earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of the United States at this very hour. And Douglass also said, America may accuse others of savagery, but really it has no equal when it comes to this. He said, for revolting barbarity and shameless hypocrisy, America reigns without a rival. As the saying goes, truer words were never spoken. Douglass spoke these words while slavery still legally existed in the United States, but his comments apply just as much even after outright slavery was ended. And all this time, while all these lynchings and other acts of incredible cruelty were being carried out, with all the oppression they embodied and enforced, all this time, those who ruled this country, those who refused to do anything to stop these lynchings and other acts of terror and atrocities, those who were responsible for these and other barbaric crimes, all this time, they never stopped proclaiming, "This is the greatest country in the world. This is the greatest country that has ever been. This is the leader of the free world. This is the homeland of freedom and democracy." It is not just that many white people acted like depraved beasts, and it is not that some were actually devils, although it certainly may have seemed that way many times in the history of this country. The deeper thing is that all these horrors were shaped by, they were encouraged by, and they served to keep in effect a whole system, a system that could not have existed without first slavery and then near slavery. And segregation and terror centered in the South while the great majority of black people lived there. chained in one way or another to the rural South and on white-owned plantations. White supremacy is built into the foundation of this country. It is something this system and those who rule it could not do without, even if they wanted to, which they don't. And this has continued down to the present. Despite all the false claims these days about how this is now a colorblind society, segregation and discrimination continue against black people and other people of color. Every time there is a study or a survey to determine this, it shows without fail that segregation and discrimination exist in housing, in jobs, in schools, in healthcare, in every part of society. And this continues to be backed up with brutality and violence.
And now the Trump fascist regime is putting all of that on steroids, and even banning mention of this history in classrooms, museums, and libraries. This whole history and this present-day reality is why the RevComs say this whole system is rotten and illegitimate. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. This coming weekend, the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity is inviting people, Saturday, July 5th, to get more into this in DC, LA, the Bay Area. Go to revcom.us or the social media at the RevComs for more. Join them to discuss the truth about America's history, how this is part of what gave rise to Trump MAGA fascism, and why and how there really is a different way the world can be, and most important, your role in bringing this world into being. So, like I said, go to at the RevComs or revcom.us for more on how to hook up. Okay, so you just heard Bob Avakian from over 20 years ago ripping into the lie that this is the greatest country in the world, the homeland of freedom and democracy. But this lie is still being drilled into people's heads. And the descendants of those who enslaved Frederick Douglass now have control of the levers of power. In response to this, we're witnessing an unprecedented amount of anger and fear and agonizing, with millions and millions of people jolted awake by Trump MAGA fascism. I mean, everywhere I've gone just in the last few weeks, concert, parties, events, forums, there's a desperate undercurrent of people furious and wanting to understand what the f*** is happening. Why? Where did all this insanity come from? And what can we do to stop it? And there are big underlying questions. Is there hope? Is there a positive way the world can be? And there are answers to all this in Bob Avakian's work and through the messages coming out regularly through his social media at Bob Avakian Official. We are excited to announce that the Bob Avakian Institute has just released volume 2 of the pamphlet, Trump MAGA Fascism, What We're Really Facing, Why, and What Must Be Done to Defeat It Before It Is Too Late. These messages and the overall work that BA is doing is unique. It's providing concrete, real-time, consistent scientific guidance and clarity. It's the leadership that people need right now. For these crucial, for these very confusing events and questions as they're unfolding. But at the same time, there are people working to shut down any real engagement with Bob Avakian's work. They use the unthinking anti-communist slander of cult to shut down serious debate and critical thinking. If you're a regular viewer of this show, you may have heard this before. These haters spread lies and slander about Bob Avakian. And in a recent series of social media messages, Avakian goes deeply into all this, where this comes from and why. Why? Because of the terrible culture and the unscientific ways of thinking that are so prevalent in this society, this shit actually gets a hearing. And you can listen to the playlist of these on revcom.us and on Bob Avakian's Substack. Opposing the enemy within the fight to defeat Trump MAGA fascism, this putrid culture, lies, and slander. In one of these, in Revolution number 121, Bob Avakian asked this question to these various opportunists, these sectarian counter-revolutionaries: what are your actual goals and priorities? uniting all who can be united in the crucial struggle to defeat Trump MAGA fascism with the aim of bringing something far better into being, or opposing and slandering others who are working tirelessly to do so. And we want to play an illustrated excerpt from Revolution 121, where he takes on, where Babavakian takes on just one of these lies. Let's watch.
There is the ridiculous and outrageous claim that I am a racist. While it is useless and a waste of time to try to answer every slanderous lie against Refuse Fascism, the RevComs, and myself, lies which continually spew forth like filth from a backed up toilet, this accusation that I am a racist cannot go unanswered. Here again, it is helpful to refer to reality, specifically the reality that for more than 60 years, beginning long before most of those making this accusation were even born, I have actively, passionately devoted myself to the fight against racist oppression.
I'm going
to
bring you on now a member of the Peace and Freedom Party who has worked diligently on behalf of Brother Huey. I give you Babavakian.
Now I want to say that I wouldn't be on the stage, we wouldn't have been at the Oakland Induction Center if it weren't for the courageous people, the masses of people, and the leaders who led and participated in the Black liberation struggle all these years. Because they're the ones that taught us. They're the ones that forced us to face what the reality of America and this system was all about. And in this sense, we say that not only are Black people a vanguard, but they're an inspiration. We don't expect them to liberate us. We have to do that for ourselves. But they have inspired us to begin that struggle to end this imperialist, racist, colonial system once and for all. And let me say one thing to the white people in the audience. Now, you know, Bobby has been saying for a long time, we will not fight racism with racism. We refuse to stoop to the level of a racist to hate somebody because of the color of his skin. Well, that's fine. But I see a lot of white people walking around and say, oh, good. Now the Black Panther Party don't hate me. I can go on about my business. That's a cop-out. And if you act like that, the Black Panther Party will hate you. Not because you're white, but because you ain't taking care of business to organize other people. Teach them the need to support the Black Liberation Movement led by the Black Panther Party as a strong, fearless voice against American imperialism, and to link up with all the people in Vietnam, in China, in Angola, in Latin America, and everywhere else who are standing shoulder to shoulder to drive this vicious beast out of the way and out of the pages of history.
White supremacy and capitalism, they have been completely interwoven and tightly stitched together through the whole development of this country down to today. To attempt to really put an end to white supremacy while maintaining the system of capitalism would tear the entire fabric of the country apart. White supremacy and capitalism, it is not possible to overcome and finally abolish the one without overthrowing and finally abolishing the other. For anyone actually interested in the truth about this, this is gone into extensively at revcom.us, including in the article, Babavakian for the Liberation of Black People and the Emancipation of All Humanity, which is also, as a video, the subject of a special episode of the YouTube RNL Revolution Nothing Less show.
We present Babavakian for the Liberation of Black People and the Emancipation of All Humanity. One of the things that comes through most powerfully in Babavakian's memoir is that a profound hatred for the oppression of Black people has been a defining part of Babavakian's life. From the time as a teenager, he learned about the lives of the Black people with whom he developed deep ties of friendship.
But never mind. The accusation is being spread. Babavakian is a racist. So that obviously must be the case, despite all the undeniable evidence to the contrary.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
El estado, los cielos, las calles, que tiemblen los jueces y los judiciales. Hoy a las mujeres nos quitan la calma, nos sembraron miedo, nos crecieron alas. A cada minuto de cada semana nos roban amigas, nos matan hermanas, destrozan sus cuerpos, los desaparecen. No olvides sus nombres, por favor, señor presidente. Por todas las compas luchando en Reforma, por todas las morras peleando en Sonora, por las comandantas luchando por Chiapas, por todas las madres buscando en Tijuana.
Cantamos sin miedo, pedimos justicia, gritamos por cada desaparecida.
Que resuene fuerte,
nos queremos vivas.
Que caiga con fuerza
el feminicida.
Yo todo lo incendio, yo todo lo rompo. Si un día algún fulano te apaga los ojos, ya nada me calla, ya todo me sobra. Si tocan a una, respondemos todas. Soy Claudia, soy Esther y soy Teresa.
Years ago, Bob Avakian said that one of the things that has to happen in order for there to be real and lasting change for the better is that people have to fully confront the actual history of this country and its role in the world up to today and the terrible consequences of this. So on this July 4th, there's no better time than to look at that history, at these American crimes. And we want to play a video that was done 5 years ago when Trump was at Mount Rushmore in Trump 1.0. This is from a series that you can read on revcom.us/American crime that gets into just some of this history. And we want to play this video now.
We are not a nation of timid spirits. Our American ancestors sailed across the perilous ocean to build a new life on a new continent.
In 1779, General John Sullivan led 6,000 Continental Army troops on a mission to wipe out communities of the Iroquois Confederacy in upstate New York. Sullivan's troops methodically looted and destroyed every Iroquois town and village on their route, their progress marked by smoldering villages and blackened fields. Roughly 50 towns, 1 million bushels of corn, 50,000 bushels of vegetables, and 10,000 fruit trees were demolished, leaving death and starvation in their wake. Sullivan's orders came from the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army, General George Washington, who wrote,
"The immediate objects are the total destruction and devastation of their settlements and the capture of as many prisoners of every age and sex as possible. It will be essential to ruin their crops now in the ground and prevent their planting more."
We're a nation of pilgrims, pioneers, adventurers, explorers, and trailblazers who refuse to be tied down, held back, or in any way reined in.
On December 26, 1862, 38 Dakota Santee Sioux men were hanged in Mankato, Minnesota. Surrounded by 1,500 Union troops and a howling mob of 4,000 white settlers, they were hanged simultaneously. This was the largest mass execution in U.S. history. The execution order came from the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln.
Forced off of their land and into starvation, the Dakota had fought a futile war against the Union Army. After the hangings, more than 1,600 Dakota were exiled to a disease-ridden concentration camp on Pike Island. Then in 1863, the U.S. Congress abolished the Dakota Reservation, declared all prior treaties null and void, and expelled the Dakota people from Minnesota.
These pioneers didn't have money. They didn't have fame. But they had each other. They loved their families. They loved their country. And they loved their God.
On the morning of November 29th, 1864, 700 soldiers of the 3rd Colorado Cavalry, led by Colonel John Covington, stormed into a village near Sand Creek, where the Cheyenne people had been promised peace and safety by the U.S. government. The soldiers opened fire with carbines and cannons, killing at least 130, mostly women, children, and the elderly. Before leaving, the soldiers not only scalped the dead, but cut off body parts as trophies. Then they burned the village. Colonel Covington declared,
"I have come to kill Indians and believe it is right and honorable to use any means under God's heaven to kill Indians. Kill and scalp all, big and little. Nits become lice."
When opportunity beckoned, they picked up their Bibles, packed up their belongings, climbed into their covered wagons, and set out west for the next adventure.
In 1846, before the 1848 gold rush, 150,000 Native Americans were living in California. By 1873, only 30,000 Native Americans were left alive. And by 1880, they numbered 16,277. This was accomplished by starvation, disease, imprisonment, and massacres.
Ranchers and miners, cowboys and sheriffs, farmers and settlers, they pressed on past the Mississippi to stake a claim in the wild frontier.
The Bloody Island Massacre. In 1850, following a wave of attacks on Native Americans by white vigilantes, Captain Nathaniel Lyon led several army detachments in a slaughter of up to 800 Pomo people at Clear Lake, 100 miles from San Francisco. The Daily Alta, California, reported,
"The shrieks of the slaughtered victims died away, the roar of the muskets ceased, and stretched lifeless upon the sod of their native valley were the bleeding bodies of these Indians. Nor sex nor age was spared. It was the order of extermination fearfully obeyed."
Legends were born. Wyatt Earp, Annie Oakley, Davy Crockett, and Buffalo Bill.
The Sacramento River Massacre. In 1846, as many as 1,000 Wintu people were murdered while fishing by a band of white men led by Army Captain John C. Fremont and guide Kit Carson.
Americans built their beautiful homesteads on the open range. Soon they had churches and communities, then towns, and with time, great centers of industry and commerce.
The Yontocket Massacre. In 1853, a band of white vigilantes attacked a spiritual pilgrimage of Tolowa and Yurok tribes, killing hundreds.
A Tolowa historian, Loren Bomelin, said, "Over 450 of our people were murdered or lay dying on the ground. Then the white men built a huge fire and threw in our sacred ceremonial dresses, regalia, and feathers, and the flames grew higher. They threw in babies. Many of them were still alive, and they burned the village to the ground."
That is who they were. Americans build their future. We don't tear down our past. I want every child in America to know that you are part of the most exciting and incredible adventure in human history.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Trying to look past this thing that's between us, wondering when all this anger will fade. The stars look the same from where we are standing. Why can't we fix this mess we've made? Let's not forget that our fates are as one, just because we feel numb and betrayed. There is love, there must be something good, something strong between you and me. There is
fight forever. You and me, we are stronger together, hoping to find a path to forgiveness, knowing that pride always gets in the way. We all want a place where it's safe to be human, the welcome embrace of a brand new day. Let's not allow what we have to be lost just because of what someone might say. There is love, there must be something good, something strong between you and me. There is hope, we must try. If we don't, we'll regret it the rest of our lives, side by side forever. You and me, we are stronger together.
We've got some time left, so I'd like to play this.
Not the courts and not the Democratic Party. Decent people mobilizing massively and relentlessly are the force that must be relied on to defeat Trump MAGA fascism. This is Bob Avakian, Revolution number 125. To echo the moving words of Mario Savio, ringing down through the decades since the free speech movement at UC Berkeley in the 1960s, the machinery of the Trump fascist regime must be prevented from functioning until this regime is removed from power. The executive branch of government is headed by the fascist Trump. The fascist Republican Party controls both houses of Congress. And the courts cannot stop this because the majority of the Supreme Court, the final legal authority, is itself an instrument of this fascism. In my next message, number 126, I will get further into the role of the Supreme Court as an instrument of this fascism and how this further emphasizes the crucial importance of all those who oppose this fascism mobilizing massively to actually defeat it before it is too late. At the same time, it is important to note how the Democratic Party leadership has refused to act in meaningful ways to oppose the fascists, particularly with regard to the crucial role of the Supreme Court. When Biden became president in 2021, with momentum from his decisive 2020 electoral victory, there were calls for him to expand the Supreme Court, adding justices in order to counter the way the court had been stacked with fascists. This would have been legal and constitutional, and it could have been possible. During the first years of Biden's presidency, the Democrats controlled the Senate, which has to approve appointments to the Supreme Court. But Biden refused to do this with the lame excuse that he didn't want to politicize the court, when it was already obviously politicized by the fascist majority. This is typical of the Democratic Party as an institution. In its determination to maintain the orderly functioning and traditional norms of this system, it has repeatedly aided and facilitated the fascists who are trampling on those traditional norms in order to rule through an open dictatorship of lawless tyranny and terror. As I emphasize in my message number 119, some Democratic Party politicians may contribute to the struggle against Trump MAGA fascism but the Democratic Party will not and cannot lead this struggle where it needs to go. It is up to the decent people in the millions and millions to stop this Trump fascist juggernaut and the horrors it is moving to impose on people in this country and in the world as a whole. Ongoing protests and powerful mobilizations all over the country have been very important, and they show the potential for what must be done. But all this must make a leap soon to become a massive popular uprising, determined to actually defeat this fascist regime, uniting around the urgent demand: the Trump fascist regime must go now. This means no business as usual. It means protest and resistance building day after day, nonviolent but sustained and relentless, responding to repression by the fascist regime with even greater outpourings of resistance, uniting all who can be united in continually growing numbers, motivated by the necessary sense of urgency, aiming to create a profound political crisis and major shifts and realignments throughout society, including in the dominant institutions of power, so that this illegitimate fascist regime cannot function and is actually removed. More on why only the sustained, determined action of decent people can be relied on to defeat and remove the Trump fascist regime. This is Bob Avakian, Revolution number 126. Like the Republican Party, the Supreme Court, dominated by a fascist majority, is an instrument facilitating Trump MAGA fascism. Take the recent decision of the Supreme Court in relation to the fundamental question of birthright citizenship, the provision in the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, which in very clear language establishes that everyone born in this country is a citizen of this country. Immediately after returning to power in January of this year, 2025, Trump issued an executive order that blatantly violated this basic right guaranteed in the Constitution. A number of lower court judges quickly put a stop to this, citing the obvious fact that this executive order violates the Constitution. So the Trump regime appealed to the Supreme Court, not asking the court to rule now on the merits of this, whether his executive order itself is in violation of the Constitution, but instead to rule that lower court judges cannot issue decisions that apply to the whole country, nationwide injunctions. Such nationwide injunctions have been issued many times over the years, and they are especially necessary to stop the government from violating fundamental rights, such as the right to citizenship. But the Supreme Court, through the action of the fascist majority, gave Trump what he wanted, ruling in his favor against nationwide injunctions. Here is a very relevant point. Although the Trump regime did not ask the Supreme Court to rule on whether Trump's executive order is constitutional, the court could have ruled on this anyway. This is what happened in 2022 when the court overturned Roe v. Wade, ripping away the constitutional right to abortion. The case before the court then involved a Mississippi anti-abortion law. The Supreme Court could have simply ruled on whether that Mississippi law was constitutional, But the fascist majority seized on this opportunity to overturn Roe v. Wade altogether, going against 50 years of legal precedent set by previous Supreme Court rulings. It is worth asking why the court did not do that in this recent case, and specifically, why it did not issue a ruling making clear that Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship violated the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. The fact is that the Supreme Court majority is determined to enable Trump to bulldoze over challenges to his fascist regime, regardless of legal precedent, basic logic, and the obvious meaning of things, including the Constitution. It is not clear at this point whether this majority is prepared to further expose its fascist nature by blatantly ruling against the clear language of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. But it is definitely possible that the court could at some point, and perhaps soon, side with Trump's whole assault on birthright citizenship, even as Trump's actions are flagrantly in violation of the 14th Amendment. Now Trump is threatening to revoke the citizenship of people he regards as enemies. Can anyone feel confident that the Supreme Court will not find a way to back him up on this? In any case, along with overturning Roe v. Wade and its no nationwide injunctions decision favoring Trump, this fascist-dominated Supreme Court has made other outrageous rulings. Last year, 2024, when Trump was facing criminal charges, the court, through an opinion written by Chief Injustice Roberts, granted Trump immunity for anything he does as part of official presidential acts. As one of the liberal justices on the court pointed out, the logic of this ruling would allow Trump to order the assassination of people and be protected by presidential immunity. And there have been a number of other rulings by the majority on the Supreme Court this year that have given legal backing to outrageous actions by the fascists. All this because those who make up the majority on the Supreme Court are not acting as legal scholars who adhere to the Constitution and make rational judgments about whether laws are constitutional. They are fascist functionaries who reinterpret the Constitution and the laws, ignoring and defying legal precedent, basic logic, and the clear meaning of things as a key part of enforcing the aims of the Trump fascist regime, of which they are effectively an instrument. This demonstrates very clearly the profound truth that all those who oppose the tyrannical madness of this Trump fascist regime must mobilize with continuing and growing determined nonviolent action to prevent this fascist regime from functioning and create the conditions where it is removed from power before it can fully consolidate its rule of fascist atrocity.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Ein, zwei, drei, vier.
Strange things are happening, Lord, I don't know what to do. My friends say it's in my head, I say it's deja vu. It's all too familiar, been down this road before. I believe it was in Germany, just before the war. A meanness swept the land, stealing our hearts and the hands of time. Taking us back in history to a place on the darker side. Where we saluted the flags of fear and the voice of ignorance roared. Taking us back to Germany just before. Balance of power shifted when the people cast their vote. Our lining up the victims, the villains, and the scapegoats. And we're all singing hallelujah, death penalty's been restored. Just like in Germany, just before the war. We used to feed the hungry, care for the disabled and the poor. We used to care about civil rights, but we don't give a damn anymore. We used to harbor the wretched refuse, but now we bar the door. Just like in Germany, just before the war. About the children, their future was in our hands. Oh, their health and education was so vital to our plans. But the cost kept on rising, we can't afford to care no more. Just like in Germany, just before the war. They say it's time to clean the slate, it's time to start it.